Number one, in verse 26, and I'll read 26 through 28, we see that Mary was, first of all, sought out by God. Verse 26 says, now in the sixth month of what? And we should always, when we're studying the Bible, ask a lot of questions. Who, what, when, where, how? Why 6 months? Well, it was 6 months prior that the angel had spoken to Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. And now 6 months later, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Galilee, Galilee means circle. It's 20 cities around the Sea of Galilee, which Hiram, king of Tyre, called Kabul, worthless. People didn't think much of Galilee, but Jesus was from Galilee, and Nazareth was in Galilee. And so this angel comes to Nazareth, and if you know anything about local custom, he couldn't have come into her house because men weren't to be seen in women's houses that weren't married. And so most likely, and most Bible scholars think, that Mary was in the special cave where the water supply for the whole region was. And every woman knew that well because they had to go back and forth all day long. Every drop of water used for everything was carried in a pot on the head to the house. And so probably, and it's a very precious spot, Mary was there getting that. And there was a virgin, verse 27, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph and the descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And, verse 28, coming in. Gabriel came into something. Probably this cave where the spring was, and the well was used to bring the water up out of the rock. And he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, God sought her out. And she didn't go around with her antenna up saying, "Hey, you're looking for a great woman, here I am," you know. He sought her. And I think immediately of the fact that God is in the people seeking business. God has sought out, and Mary joins so many others that God has sought. God sought out Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't seek him. They hid from him. God sought out Noah in the pre-flood world and revealed himself to him. God sought Abram in Ur. God sought out Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. God is in the people seeking business. He still is. But keep reading verse 29. You could label verse 29, "Who, me?" I mean, look at her response. But she was greatly troubled. Now, that's a good sign of a humble person, and that's the next point, that she was humble. She was sought by God, and she was humble. Because a humble person, when they're honored, they can't believe it. They go, "Me? Me?" You know, they're just in shock. I don't mean they're acting. I mean they're honest. And that's what she says. She was greatly troubled at his statement that, "Hail, Mary, you're favored, and the Lord is with you." And she was pondering, she was just swirling this in her mind. What would that man who came in to probably the cave of the well, what did he mean by that? I mean, I'm sure she dropped her bucket and looked at him. And this shows us that there were no errors in Mary's life, no pride. There was just a humble, troubled heart that anyone would even say such a thing to her, because she knew her own heart. And certainly God knew her. But that leads us to the 30th verse, which I think is most important. And if there's something you hold on to, this is an important one. Look at the 30th verse. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Interesting word, favor. It's the word grace. You know what he says? "Mary, you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord." You say, was this something special? Was she a sinless woman? Never sinned? Was she someone who had escaped the taint of sin, and that's how she got to bear Jesus? And I want to say that, sadly enough, that the longer this goes, the more enlarged this fanciful notion that Mary was sinless is. And it wasn't assumed that she was sinless until recently, in the last 150 years, and now it's assumed that her mother was sinless. And if you keep going, it goes all the way back, and somehow Eve is sinless. And I don't know how that works, but that's not what it says. It says she found favor. Now, keep your finger right there and go back to the first book of the Bible. I want to show you what it means to find favor in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, because remember, the best way to understand the Bible is not to listen to some notable scholar, but to read the Bible. Because the Bible explains the Bible, and the Bible is the best commentary in the Bible, and the first commentary I go to when I'm studying the Bible is the Bible. And that's why a great tool is something like the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge that has 500,000, 600,000 cross-references, and to find everything the Bible says on anything else. And this is the first occurrence of this word, find favor. In Genesis 6, in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Do you know what that word favor is? It's the same as the New Testament word favor. It's the word, the New Testament word, grace. Do you know what? Noah found God's grace. He was in a despicable world, a world that was headed toward destruction, and God just put and poured out on Noah his grace. And this is the first occurrence of grace in the Bible. Now, does that mean Noah was sinless? Well, don't turn there, but by chapter 9, he's drunken, unclothed, and in a heap on the bottom, on the ground of his tent. Certainly wasn't sinless, but he was a recipient of God's grace. Certainly anybody that's born again is not sinless, but they are certainly a recipient of God's grace. So back to Luke chapter 1. Let's read it that way. Luke 1 and verse 30. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. What does that mean? It means that Mary had partook of God's grace. She was saved by God. There's some people that just are repulsed at the thought that Mary sinned. Well, the Bible says all have sinned. And Jesus is the only one that escapes sin because Jesus was perfect. He was God the Son. Everyone else has sinned. Everyone. Every man, woman, child that's ever lived, no matter how noble or saintly, are sinners. We are all sinners. Mary was a sinner, but Mary found grace. She partook of God's grace. She was saved by God. She discovered the grace of God, which is literally the word order of this verse. But Mary, it says, do not fear, for you have found, and the word is literally discovered, and have been discovered by, it's passive, you have been discovered by the grace of God. What a joy. As Mary joined the countless multitude in this world and who have already gone on, who are heirs of life eternal by God's grace. That's the only way to get to heaven. It's the only way. I was thinking about this. We were standing a while back in front of this gigantic tank of fish. Huge. Two stories high and just full of fish. And I was looking at those massive fish. And I was thinking, those fish would have to be born again to enter the kingdom of man. You get it? They can't live outside that water. If they were where I was, they would die unless they were born again into the kingdom of man. Did you know we cannot enter the kingdom of God if we have not been born again into the kingdom of God? Mary was born again. She got a new heart, and she received the marvelous grace of our loving Lord. The songwriter puts it this way, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount upward, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. She received that grace. Her study of the Word of God had led her into the open arms, as she confesses a little bit later in verse 47. She says, my spirit is rejoiced in God, my Savior. She found her Savior. She knew she needed His grace. She was discovered by His grace, and she partook of it.